guide my feet and a light to my path. That's what this book says about itself. It also says this in 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives, to correct us when we are wrong, and to teach us to do what is right. God uses this book to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. This book is important. This book is truth. Jesus said that his word is truth. Sanctify us, make us new, change us by your word. As we think about that, let me pray and we'll jump into this book and we'll see what God has to say to us today. Father, we just thank you for this time that we can get into your word, God, and come back to truth. The place that is our foundation, the place that we can run to when we don't know what else to do. We can come back to what is true. God, and we bring our hearts today humbly before you. We ask that your spirit would speak. We ask that you would just change our lives today. Help us to think differently as we walk out of here today. Lord, you are the great God. You are truth. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. So I know it's early, I'm sorry, but a quick quiz. Good. You didn't stone me, that's good. All right. What's the first word that comes to mind when I say up? Yes. Okay, how about light? Right. And what is it about those? Opposites, right. How about stop? Happy. Good. Empty? Faith. Doubt. I'm hearing doubt. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this. For we walk by faith, not by sight. See, the opposite of faith isn't doubt. We think it is, but it's actually not. It's actually sight. When we're walking with God, it's about faith, belief, trust. It's not about what we see. And so today we're going to look into Joshua chapter 3. So if you have a Bible, whether it's electronic or if it's awesome paper, I know, I'm partial to paper, I really am. However, we're going to look into Joshua 3. What's going on in the book of Joshua is Moses has died and Joshua is now in charge of the people to lead them as he follows God and they follow him and they're to lead into this promised land. If you remember, God had promised the nation of Israel that they would be given this property, this land, promised it to them all the way back with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They went into Egypt. God, through Moses, brings them out, 10 plagues, all that stuff, and they're out in the desert, and they come to the Jordan River. When they got to the Jordan River the first time, they walked by sight. There's giants in the land, and the people are more fierce, and they're warriors, and we're not, we're going to die. All but Caleb and Joshua said no. Caleb and Joshua said no, God will give us this land. He's given it. Let's go. But the people, out of sight, choose not to follow God, and they wander the desert now for 40 years. Moses leads them. Moses ends up dying, not getting into the promised land, and Joshua takes over. So here, once again, they're at the edge of the Jordan River. What are they going to do? Are they going to walk by faith? Or the opposite, by sight. Let's read. The first five verses, Joshua 3, 1 to 5, I'll just summarize those. Joshua is now, he's instructing the nation of Israel what to do. He's like, here, we're at the edge of the Jordan now. So pack up all your stuff, get ready to move, because we're going to cross the Jordan. God is going to do something amazing here. Pick up at verse 6. In the morning, Joshua said to the priests, lift up the Ark of the Covenant and lead the people across the river. And so they started out and went ahead of the people. The Lord told Joshua, today I will begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of all the Israelites. They will know that I am with you, just as I was with Moses. Give this command to the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant. When you reach the banks of the River Jordan, take a few steps into the river and stop there. So here, they're seeing the word of God. They're hearing the word of God. God is asking his people to step out in faith, to believe what he has said in the past, the promise he made about the land, right? And now he's asking them to do something right here and now through faith. He's asking that these priests, when they pick up the Ark of the Covenant, remember they carry it by poles, and they're walking, and when they get to the edge of the Jordan, step in. That's what God's word for them is. So what are they going to do? So Joshua said, sorry, I'll go this way. So Joshua told the Israelites, come and listen to what the Lord your God says. So again, here's the word of the word of the Lord. It's God's word. It's so easy for us just to read that and forget that that was God speaking. Listen to the word of the Lord. For what? Direction. Guidance. Listen to the word of the Lord your God. Today you will know that the living God is among you. He will surely drive out the Canaanites, the Hittites, Hivites, the Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites ahead of you. Look, the Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord of all the earth, will lead you across the Jordan River. So here, God, again, God had promised them that they were going to get this land, and all those people, the Canaanites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, all those people were living there. They're embedded in that land that God has said is Israel's. God said, what I want you to do is I want you to go into that land because I've given it to you. So he has the priests pick up the ark, and they're supposed to go carry the ark into the Jordan. Now, if you remember, the Ark of the Covenant had what inside it? Remember? Ten Commandments. Yeah, the Ten Commandments were inside the Ark. And they would carry it out. They would carry it before them. And they'd have to keep distance from it. But what the Ark represented was the presence of God. God's presence among his people. So they would carry this thing. And they would, all the people, the millions of people would follow in their footsteps. Where is God leading? Over here. Where is God leading? Over there. And now he's going to lead them across the Jordan. God's going to go into this first. Asking them to take a step of faith behind him. Look, the Ark of the Covenant, which belongs to the Lord your God, the Lord of the whole earth, will lead you across the Jordan River. Verse 12. Now choose 12 men from the tribe of Israel, one from each tribe. 13. The priests will carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth. As soon as their feet touch the water, the flow of water will be cut off upstream, and the river will stand up like a wall. So imagine for a second being a priest carrying the ark. This is representation of God's presence. It has the Ten Commandments in it, and you're supposed to go step in this raging water, this river that is now overflowing its banks. And he asks them to step in it. But not until they've stepped in it, all of them that are carrying this thing, will the water stop flowing. It's a step of faith God is asking them to do. Last time they were here, they wouldn't even go anywhere near a step of faith. They wouldn't get their feet wet. They wouldn't try. They wouldn't follow. Actually, they just didn't believe. Verse 14, so the people left their camps across the Jordan, and the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. It was a harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. So the people, what did the people do? Because we could stop for a second and say, oh, the people, they just watched. They waited to see if God was going to do what he said he was going to do. They waited for those priests to carry the Ark into the river. But actually, they had to have their own step of faith. They packed up all their stuff because they weren't coming back across and followed the ark. So there's this huge line of millions of people spread out over a few miles, I'm sure, waiting to step and to follow God. And the banks of the river were overflowing. You can imagine seeing a river. I mean, we've all seen rivers and streams that are overflowing that, you know, maybe shouldn't be. And they overflow and they go into places. They knock down weeds and trees and go into our yards and our basements and all that horrible stuff. And they knock down all that. And God says, step into that chaos. And God again goes first. So the people left their camp across the Jordan, and the priests were carrying the Ark of the Covenant that went ahead of them. It was a harvest season, and the Jordan was overflowing its banks. But as soon as the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark touched the water at the river's edge, the water above that point began backing up a great distance at the town of Adam. And the water below that point flowed down to the Dead Sea until the river was dry. All the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. So here we are. We get this moment in time, this picture of God asking people to step, literally, step out in faith, not sight. He wants the Israelites to listen, to hear his word, to do as he asks, to believe him. So the whole group of people step out in faith. You know, what we believe actually affects how we behave, right? Like, if you were to analyze somebody's life, it's hard to do your own, but if you were to analyze somebody's life out of their actions, a lot of times you get what they believe. You can figure it out. It's called a worldview. And God is asking the Israelites here to act according to what they believe. Is God real? Is he faithful? Has he really given us this land or not? Well, I don't think he really has, so I'm going to wait over here on this side of the Jordan. I'm just going to sit here for a minute, and I'm going to wait to see what happens. And then I'm going to pack all my stuff up, and then I'm going to run over and try to catch up. Or, you know what? God is true. God is right. His word, I've heard his word. I believe, I trust his word. I'm going to act according to that trust. And then what happens? Dry ground. They experience dry ground. See, the only ones that actually got their feet wet were the priests. The ones who stepped out and all stepped into the river. Everybody else walked with dry shoes. Didn't ruin their new Nikes, nothing. The priests are standing on dry ground with wet feet. It's a pretty cool picture when you think about it. God stopped up the water. And, you know, if we put ourselves in the place of these priests, you got to kind of think a little bit. Like, just the properties of water. How? How is water going to stop upstream without a dam? And can we stop water? It finds a way around. It digs into stuff. It gets places where it shouldn't somehow. And yet God's saying, I will stop it up. I'll heap it up so that every person in Israel can walk across into what I have given them. And I'm going before you. That is a walk of faith, not sight. They knew the word of God. They chose to trust the word of God. They acted upon that trust. And then they experienced dry ground. They experienced God working in their lives and the lives of those around them. They actually got to where God wanted them to be. You think about that in our lives. We often live the opposite of faith, which a lot of people said doubt. No, doubt is not the opposite of faith. Sight is the opposite of faith. How often do we operate out of sight? We tend to want some experience from God, right? For those that have ever gone to Bible camp, week-long Bible camp, woohoo, It's awesome. It's the best. You come back, you're all stoked and excited. Have you never been to Bible camp? Yeah, so you know what I'm talking about. So you come back and you're like, you know, your parents are like, how was it? You're like, oh, it was awesome. It's so great. I met this person and we did this and that. There was this bonfire and we burnt each other and it was great. And you're super excited for about 3 days, maybe a week. But when you present that excitement to everybody else, they go, I don't know what you're talking about. And we seem to want that in order for us to know that God is working in our lives, right? We want a moment of sight. God, if you will just fill in the blank, give me a bigger account, give me a better retirement, make it a sunny day instead of a rainy day, make all week sunny instead of rainy. If you'll just do that, then I know you're real. Then I know you're true. Let's say he does give you that sunny day. What do you ask the next day? Could it be sunny again today? God, if you're real, do you see what a life of sight does? It lacks. It never fills us up. It's based on something that's always changing. When I pray and ask God for things like that, God, you know what? I know you want me to love people, but would you make them a better person so I can love them easier? We sit, right? We sit and wait to see if he does it. It's not what God is asking us to do. And then the question that we have to ask ourselves is, who are we putting in charge? When I ask God to do something so I can see and then do what he wants me to do, I'm really putting myself above God. God's already in his word given us everything we need for life and godliness. And yet we're like, you know, that's okay, that's true, but if you would just show up in this way, if you just make my circumstances easier. See, God wants you and me to step into the water, to get our feet wet, knowing that he will create dry ground as we walk in. This is a principle throughout Scripture. For example, your salvation story. You can't be a believer in Jesus Christ without first knowing the word. You have to hear the gospel that Jesus paid your sin debt by his death, burial, resurrection. And when you hear that, now you get to go, do I trust that? Will I trust Jesus in that? And if you choose to trust him in it, then your life begins to change. You now have the opportunity to be in fellowship with God for the first time. He's restored us. And now we get to, based on what he said, we get to be in fellowship with him. Enjoy everlasting life with him. We get to experience him here, now, and then for all of eternity, whatever that means, forever. Just keeps going. We get to experience him. It's to know. It's to trust. It's to act. It's to experience. But how often do we want a first experience? Like in our culture, we try to experience things first, or we want to. If I experience this, then I'm going to go, that might be true. Then I want to experience it again. And again. And then eventually I'm going to go, okay, this, since it's, you know, I get the same outcome every time, it must be true. But God is saying just the opposite. It's not about our experience with God. It's about knowing him. It's about his word. What does his word say? Do we trust it? I mean, we're bombarded in our culture with the seeing is believing phrase, right? Is it really? Is seeing believing? It's opposite of what the Bible says, that these priests had to step into the raging water by faith without seeing. They were stepping bloop into the water. Feet wet, reality, bloop, other foot wet, slippery ground, water. Oh man, this could be bad. If we fall over, the ark is going to open and all the Ten Commandments are going to wash down to the Dead Sea. We're going to lose them. But when they stepped in and stood still in the Jordan, God dried it up. That step of faith is not a step of sight. Those are opposites. We tend to say, God, just stop up the water. Make my circumstances better, and then I will. Sight, that's not faith, according to the Word of God. God wants us to step out and do what He has planned for us. And yet again, we have this practice, right, in our culture, that if someone tells you that such and such restaurant is the best Chinese or Asian food in the area, you don't really believe them. You hope they're telling you the truth. And you'll go try it if you like Asian food. You'll go try it. And maybe you'll be adventurous and try the other places too to compare. Might be a good idea. Or when you need a dentist, somebody says, oh, my dentist is super gentle, you know, and the drill, he's got this little thing, silence around the drill, you can't even hear it go blah, 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 on your teeth, right? And you're like, oh, that's the dentist I want. And so you go and maybe you try him out, and okay, yeah, that dentist is pretty good. They do have a silence around their drill. That'd be nice, actually. I want part of that if somebody decides to make one of those. The thing is do we do that with God? Do we try him out? Do we go and try to see first, or do we step out in faith? See, in our world, it's probably a pretty good idea to check, make sure this Asian restaurant is good. But with God, do we do the same thing? God, you know what? I'm going to go this far, and then if you'll do this, I'll know you're good. How many of you were just saying two songs? They said, good, good, Father. You're a good God. Is he? When things aren't going the way we want them to? God's word says that he loves you and me. But there's times where I feel like I need to feel his love. I want to feel it. That is kind of a sight thing too. Because the word of God says that he loves us. And how did he demonstrate his love towards us? Sending his only son to die on the cross for my sins and give me new life. There's nothing greater. What kind of love? How much more love does he have to show to get me to know that he loves me? We tend to think that God has to do something amazing for us to follow him.
He has.
Right? He's done something amazing. And yet we'll go, you know, if you'll just part the water first, then I will. But let's just step back just for a second. Look at the life of the Apostle Paul. Paul knew that Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I have been given all power. So go do that. So Paul, he had to say, is it true or not true? Do I choose to trust or am I not going to trust? And we look at his life, he chose to trust. So he put action to it. He spends 20 plus years of his life as a missionary going around the known world, sharing the gospel of Christ. And we get all, woohoo, yay, way to go, Paul. We forget the dude was stoned to death. Not with drugs, stones. He was kicked out of cities left and right. He was beaten and bruised. He was whipped. at least three times, 39 lashes, because the 40th one you die, typically. He was shipwrecked multiple times. He was out in the ocean over 24 hours, floating on a log for Jesus. Woohoo! God, if you would just part the ocean and I could walk across, make it easier for me, let me see, then I'll take a step of faith. That's not what Paul did. How did Paul experience the Lord Jesus? Going to all the world and make disciples. Disciples were made. Churches were planted. That's why we have the books we have. Corinthians, Colossians, Ephesians, Galatians, Thessalonians. Those are churches that were planted because of the trust in the Word of God that Paul had. And yet, sometimes we still say, God, you know what? If you would just let me see such and such happen, I will follow you. But we're to live a life of faith, believing God's word, not sight. And if we're honest, we'll all probably say, hey, there was a moment in time where I was just praying, God, let me see you do something amazing. Imagine if Paul he sat back in Jerusalem or Antioch and he said, God, let me just see you do something amazing. We wouldn't have the book of Corinthians. We wouldn't have Galatians. We wouldn't have any of those. Instead, based on the word of God, he got up on his feet, out of trust, put action to his belief, and watch God do amazing things. You know, we are here because of the missionary work of Paul. Paul went to non-Jewish people, and Jews too, but mainly non-Jewish people, to the major cities, which then catapulted the gospel into the rest of the world, even though there's still a lot of work to be done. We're encouraged by Scripture that the righteous shall live by faith. We're encouraged to do the good works, believing God's word. Not wait for God to let us see something and then maybe do. It's probably just me, but if I sit there and I say, God, you know, I want to see you do this, and he chooses to do that, my tendency is to go, could you do it again? And then I'll. And again, it's putting me above God. God is now my puppet. When God has said, no, let's do this together. We're in this together. Let's do it together. Just walk by faith. Follow my presence. And step into the water. Colossians 2:6 says this, and now just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. See, we accepted Christ by faith. And this verse, this passage is talking about walking by faith. We must continue to walk by faith. You want to see God's amazing presence? You want to see his amazing power in your life? Get into his word. Believe. Choose to believe. Choose to trust it. Start acting on it. Let him work out that amazingness that is God. So let's refuse to live opposite of how God desires his people to live. Let's not live by sight. Let's live by faith in what his word says. They would have never made it across the Jordan again if they didn't step out in faith. Let's just take a moment. If you bow your heads, if you want to come up to the cross, if God's speaking on to you, or if you want to just in your chair, man. What is it that God is asking you through his word that lines up with his word that he is asking you to step out in faith to do? Faith without actions is dead. God wants the world to see himself, to see him through us. What is God asking? Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for your word, God. It is truth. There's so much in our world that battles against your truth. But God, your truth remains true. God, we want to settle on your truth. We want to walk by faith. We want to step out and get our feet wet because you're leading. No longer to walk by sight. Because your righteous ones, your saints, us, walk by faith. I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.